Welcome to Panther Potpourri, the podcast where we're supposed to talk Panthers hockey, but sometimes we don't. Presented by Florida Hockey Now. Here are your hosts, Jacob Langsam, Alex Lopez, and TJ Peterson.
Good evening, everybody. Everyone feeling better now? Meltdown's all done? All the freaking out about how big Boston is and, oh, my God, game one. Everyone done? Everyone feel better? Good. 6-1. That's what a real ass whipping looks like. This wasn't a bunch of unforced turnovers that depth players capitalized. This was a 6-1 ass whipping. At one point, it was like 35-12 in shots. That's how you dominate a fucking team. Series tied 1-1. Welcome to Panther Potpourri. With me tonight is TJ Peterson. I'm Alex Lopez. Jacob is getting drunk in Chicago and didn't want to be here tonight, but we still love you. TJ, mental health check. How are you feeling now?
They let us get off the mat.
I wouldn't even say they let us. We got ourselves off the mat.
That's true, yeah, but they didn't have any way of keeping us down on the mat. But that first period, no. I'm telling you, there was the goal against, obviously. Somebody missed a wide open net on like a breakaway rebound. So there was a breakaway save, and then the rebound, there was a wide open net, and somebody just fanned on the shot. And in general,
it was Marchand.
Boston was dominating. And they ended that period 1-0. And if they ended that period up 2-3, this game could have gone totally different. But they just don't have the talent. They don't have the talent requisite to put away those kind of opportunities. And now we've got 120 minutes of tape for Paul Maurice to look over. I think I kind of tweeted this. I definitely tweeted out at the end of the first period that the series had the look of one coach, you know, just keep getting his team ready to be the best team they can. And one coach having watched their opponent's film 6 hours a day for 6 months.
Yeah.
Because
I completely agree with you. I completely agree. Boston looked like a team that spent their entire offseason game planning for this series that they knew was coming. How do we beat the Panthers? How do we counter the Panthers' aggressive forecheck? How do we, you know, what weaknesses can we try to exploit? And it worked for 80 minutes. And then Paul Maurice put the Lions back together. And if you think this is a typical 1-1 series when it's like, oh, we had back, you know, back-to-back blowouts, this thing is going seven. I don't see that. I don't see this as a seven-game series. I think we saw the Panthers establish themselves as by far the better team, the deeper team. Amazing what happens when your top two defensemen don't each have the worst game of their career. And this isn't even hyperbole. You know, look at the game scores from game one. There were two players that were massively in the negative, and it was Forsling and Ekblad. I guarantee you, you don't see that from tonight. I guarantee you see positive numbers from both of them. So, yeah, I see this as a six-game series for the Panthers in the Panthers' favor as we sit here today. I told you I was at a 2.5 after game one. I'm back down to a 1. I'm not saying Boston is done. I'm not saying it's over. I'm saying we know who the more talented team is after tonight. If there was any confusion after game one, it's the Panthers. Those were two completely different 6-1 wins.
No, you're absolutely right. We go back to the last podcast. I said one of us is going to be right and one of us is going to be wrong. And get ready to hear the sweetest words in the English language to be heard, not said. I was wrong. Alex, you were right. But you also hit the nail on the head by saying that, like, it's preemptive to just declare the series over. I still think Boston can win the series. But
absolutely.
In general, you got the vibe that they have a script. And in general, game one followed their script pretty well. I'm sure that they didn't script going down 1-0 when they were the team that played 2 days ago and the Panthers played 1 week ago. But in general, they didn't give up a high volume of chances that they were nervous about Swayman stopping. Now, They probably don't win that game if Jonas Johansson is in net rather than Swayman. But they had a good game plan. They executed it much better than the Panthers executed their game plan. That's how you win game one if you're the Bruins and lose it if you're the Panthers. Game two, and it kind of looked like it was following the same script. Bruins were up 1-0 after one period, probably should have been up more. That's one of the things that you should really think about, in my opinion, or at least I will, coming away from this game. The second thing that I'm going to think about is that the Panthers got a bounce. When it was 1-1, Steven Lorenz scored on a tip. We'll give the fourth line their flowers in a minute. When it was 1-1, Alex, what did you think the score should have been? I definitely didn't think it should have been 1-1.
I thought the Bruins should have been up 2, maybe 3-0 in the first. I would say 2-0 is more fair. Marchand missing a wide open net never happens. But I thought once the lines were swapped, the Panthers took over the game. So yeah, it was 1-1, but I after 1-1 and you were seeing how both teams were playing, in my mind I was like, all right, when's the next one coming?
Yeah, exactly.
I will,
And it's I go ahead.
and but I don't like maybe I'm missing what the bounce you're talking about was, because it was like the Panthers forecheck
Well,
first to turn force a turnover. Montour had put a great shot on net that Lorenz deflected.
yeah, I mean, a bounce is,
Like, what's the bounce?
it's a little bit of a unfair term, but in general, you're not gonna go 100 out of 100 on deflections like that. It's difficult. He
No,
put it in
you're
a.
not. You're not, but deflecting the puck is a skill. I mean, in the same vein, the Panthers got a lot of sticks on pucks in front of the net in game one, and they were getting past Swayman. They were just trickling half an inch wide. That was the difference in game one. It was half an inch in either direction. Some of these deflections go a half an inch to the right and they go in the net. Boston's shots are half an inch to the left or half an inch higher. And instead of bar down, it's off the crossbar and back out. Like, that was the difference in game one. But like, okay, so game two, the Panthers got a deflection that went in the net. I don't see that as a bounce. I see that as a good play finally going in the net. Deflections in front of the net are always good things. You
Oh,
always want to deflect
absolutely.
the puck in the net, in front of the net.
And I will give the fourth line their flowers now to say that it's a great play by everyone on the ice. Of course, we're going to point out the good thing that Kyle Okposo did because he's our boy. We're biased in his favor. At least I am. He forces the turnover by immediately realizing where the puck is going and forechecking, I believe it was McAvoy, who is forced to just get the puck off his stick like it's a live grenade. It goes right to Montour because McAvoy has no time to precisely clear it in a way that it won't hit the Panther stick at the blue line. And it's so perfect that he can just fire it right on net. And there's nobody within 10 feet of Lorenz. He is
No.
standing right in front of the net all alone. And he gets a great tip off. So in that sense, yes, it's unfair to call it a bounce. I can't think of a better term. Like in terms of a phrase, he rolled, for tipping skill, and he got a high roll. You're not always going to get a high roll. So that it was good that it happened at that particular time.
Yeah. That's fine. I can see where you're going with it. I just don't want to I don't want to say that first goal was lucky, because if with that, if you use that definition, then every deflection goal is lucky. Every time a fourth liner goes bar down is lucky. Like, it, I don't like, we use the term puck luck a lot. I think we're going a bit too far, but let's move on, because no one wants to hear us talk about whether a deflection is lucky for 30 minutes.
Yeah, lucky, maybe not, but just kind of, sometimes that doesn't go in. This was one of the
Yeah.
times where it went in. And if that happens, let's say they do the same play three times in the game, but they only would, if they succeeded one out of three, it matters when that one out of three is, because I think if it's in the third period of this game, it may be the goal that makes it 3-2 Bruins, for example.
Right.
The Bruins are a much better team, when they are playing with the lead. Because they
Correct.
are the kind of team that is just going to be able to throw out line after line of scoring players. So you get off the mat, you get the 1-1, and then you go to the third thing that I'm going to think about from this game, which is that Barkov and Reinhart absolutely owned it. And to a much larger extent, even though Reinhart had an awesome game, Barkov played like a top five player in the league. He played like an absolute fucking superstar tonight. And if he did that in every game, there would be no question that this guy is, you know, he's already a franchise center, but there'd be no question that this is the kind of guy going into every season you have to think about for the Hart Trophy.
Yeah, there's been questions about Barkov's playoff play. Even last year in the run to the cup, he would flash and have some great moments, but it was very rare that you were saying to yourself, okay, Barkov is the best player on the ice. Look at him not only shut down the opposing team's top line, but he's putting in a point or two. Through six or we're on playoff game number seven. He's been the best game player on the ice in what, five of them? Game one and game four in Tampa were the only two you would say he wasn't the best player on the ice. He was
Probably
definitively the
game one,
best player on
Boston.
the ice.
Okay,
Yeah, so I'm
you're
saying
saying
game.
the last game and game four, Tampa.
Correct. Monday night and game four in Tampa. But he was the best player on the ice tonight. 4 points, a power play goal, finally breaking the seal on the power play against Boston. They were over 17 at one point on the season. So hopefully that kind of opens the floodgates and the Panthers can score some more on the power play up in Boston. Getting an assist shorthanded, like Barkov was everything you want Sasha Barkov to be. The Barkov haters, like, they're awfully quiet right now.
Oh yeah, like this is not your night to talk if you're a Barkov hater, because my God, like there are games where he's the best player on the ice, and then there are games where if you mention another player first in that game, you're being stupid. Like I want to give a lot of guys flowers. I got to give Barkov three times as many as anybody else. That was what he was doing all over the ice was ridiculous.
And he also did more than his typical, like, just lightly grab someone in all the post whistle scrums that Boston was starting late in the game. Like, no, was he throwing them like Matthew Tkachuk? No, but he participated in the physical stuff, which again, the cavemen, the fan base who call him Sovkov, they're like, oh, he never does stuff post whistle. He never hits. Well, he was hitting tonight. He was wrestling tonight. Like, he did everything you want your captain to do in a playoff game.
I think that this is the Sasha Barkov game. Like, he's had plenty of very good games in his career. This is, in my opinion, it stands out as the best.
In terms, I don't know if it's his best because he's had some hat trick games, some 6-point night games, but in his playoff career, absolutely this was his best.
Yeah, I think that's fair. But man, like when he and Reinhart were out there, sometimes it was with Tarasenko. There was one goal where they fed E2,
One.
and great work by the two of them. They were
Yeah,
great.
I want to go back to that. Was Tarasenko just not on the ice for that shift, and it was like a one-time shift where Luostarinen was on the first line, or was just Tarasenko already off the ice and took a quick 20-second shift?
I think it was the inverse of what you're saying in the second one, where like it was just Luostarinen and end of shift.
No, no. The Luostarinen goal came at the beginning of the second period.
Third period.
And they, or I'm sorry, beginning of the third period, and it was like 30 seconds into the period.
Was it really
I
that
got it.
early?
Yeah, it was like 30 seconds. Okay, so maybe Luostarinen's line was out there. I see what you're saying. Luostarinen's line was out there. Barkov and Reinhart came on for the line change. Okay, I see. Same thing, just reversed order. Got it.
Right. Yeah, like I do wonder about the third player on that line, because it's more that Evan Rodriguez was just an absolute dog tonight. He didn't necessarily have the finishing, playmaking. Like it wasn't bad or anything, but like you can't necessarily say somebody had an amazing game if they didn't have a point. But like, what I can tell you for sure is that he was an absolute fucking dog tonight. Head down,
Absolutely.
just screaming bullet into like any play, like getting to the middle of the ice at will. And I think that you could tell at the end of the game that Boston was pretty frustrated with him because it wasn't like he was doing the dirty Marchand stuff, but they were still
Yeah,
going after him in particular.
Oh yeah, I mean, they were slashing a stick out of his hands behind the play, like
That
they
was
were angry at him.
hilarious. I have to admit, that was hilarious.
Yeah. I mean, technically it's an interference penalty slash slashing penalty, but whatever. Let's get into the rough stuff because, you know, the Panthers have this reputation as the dirtiest team in the league when you've got guys like Lomberg, Kachuk, and obviously Nick Cousins. They weren't the dirty ones tonight. It was Boston, and Boston lost their composure. I mean, what the fuck were you doing, Pat Maroon? Like, what were you
Yeah,
doing?
I think that you can say Jim Montgomery sent the team a message by pulling Swayman in the third period, and let's not forget to talk about that. And so I'll try to get back to it if I remember. But I think that the message that the team actually received was, this game is over, guys. So focus on something other than trying to win. And they did.
Yeah.
The thing is that you can't, this isn't the Leafs. You know, Florida like knows how to go down that road. They know which way that road goes. They're not
Yeah.
looking up the directions for the first time. So it's sort of like, you know, trying to pull a Michael Phelps into the water. It's like, okay, that's sort of his environment. That's his preferred environment.
Right. Like you're not going to intimidate this Panthers team by playing chippy. I mean, personally, I'm wondering if the Department of Player Safety is gonna, you know, look at Pat Maroon because that Cousins play was just so late. He came off the bench and like, you know, it had been a good 45, 50 seconds after the whistle, and he goes to start something with Nick Cousins. Like, I don't know what you call it, but like it was just so late and so bizarre. Like, that's not something that ever happens in an NHL game. Like, what are you doing, Pat Maroon?
The
I
word I
can't
would
remember
use is
who.
blatant.
Yeah, blatant, but like, again, it's not like it's not an intent to injure because it's not like he really did anything that bad. He just tried to start a fight with Nick Cousins. And honestly, who can blame him because it's Nick Cousins? But
Yeah.
again, it's just so late that it's not something that you ever see in an NHL game. And like I said, I kind of wonder, like, is the Department of Player Safety going to give, you know, give him a little $5,000 fine for unsportsmanlike conduct or something? I'm not saying you should be suspended. I'm just saying, like, it's kind of one of those things you have to acknowledge, like, hey man, this was just so far out of the norm. Like, you owe us a check.
Yeah. I sure hope he doesn't get suspended.
No, he's awful.
Yeah, that guy's pretty fucking slow. You think Kyle Okposo's slow? Look at this guy.
The slash on Lundell, I can't. I think it was like Weatherspoon, some defenseman. That one I actually
Yeah,
thought should have been a
Wotherspoon.
major. Weatherspoon, that should have been a major. Like that was well after the play in the ankle, like clear intent to injure. I was kind of wondering what the hell on that one, especially since it was so late and after all these other misconducts had been handed out, I thought he was going to get tossed for it, but he didn't get it. Again, I would think another $5,000 fine for slashing. Talk about Matthew Tkachuk just absolutely catching a body.
Yeah, I mean, you can't say about Pasternak that he didn't back down, but he probably wishes he did back down because there's an old Mark Twain saying that essentially goes like, better to remain silent and be thought a fool than to open your mouth and remove all doubt. That's sort of how that
Yeah.
fight went for David Pasternak.
Yeah, I look. Like, you know, you met you it's been bandied about that, you know, Montgomery called the code red and to, you know, go from winning the game to trying to start fights. David Pastrnak is the one person on your team you don't want doing that. And he picked a fight with Matthew Tkachuk, who Well, doesn't fight a lot. He wins that battle 10 out of 10 times, and we saw it. Like, that was an absolute knockout blow. I mean, we'll give Pasta a little bit of credit, you know, just in terms of respect that he got back up and kept swinging and did land a few shots in on Kachuk. It just happened to be that Kachuk was being tackled by two linesmen. That was the only way he could get a shot in. But hey, take a punch like that and get back up. I'll give you a little bit of respect, but probably not a good idea to do that again. I mean, look, I'll take all the Pasta fights you want. I mean, there's basically two players on the Panthers that, you know, they quote unquote lose or tie the battle of coming off the ice for 5 minutes, and it's Kachuk and Barkov. Pasta can take coincidental 5 minute majors with anyone else on the team, and the Panthers win that trade off.
Honestly, it was getting to the point in the game where I was kind of happy if a star player would have fought, because that meant that they were going to be off the ice for a long period of time. And I think that there was a likelihood that guys on the Bruins, and let's be honest, the Panthers to some extent, were going to do some cheap shotting.
Oh, we
So
saw it.
like I
We saw it with Weatherspoon.
yeah, exactly. So when you take a Kachuk off the ice for 5 minutes, 5 minutes where nobody's going to blindside hit him, or, you know, try to slash him in the gonads or something like that.
Yeah.
Did we miss any of the rough stuff?
I thought, all the coincidental 10-minute misconducts were fine. The game was out of hand. So just get guys out of here and get to the end of the game. I think that pretty much covers it. Pat Maroon, the moron. Montour wooing right in Marchand's face was great.
That's
But
excellent.
yeah, I think that covers it. You wanted to talk about the goalie change. Go for it, and then I'll give you my 2 cents.
Yeah, I mean, that's really what I want to set up your 2 cents. The way that I see it, I think that they just kind of told Swayman, hey, like, let's just give you the rest of the game off. No more getting your ego bruised. You know, no potential for injury. White flag. That was the way I saw it. What did you think?
I didn't see it as a white flag. I saw it as Montgomery trying to buy a timeout and try and slow down the momentum, even though he still had his actual timeout. But I think he was just trying to be like, all right, I've got two aces in my sleeve in terms of goalies. And he does. Linus Ullmark is a fantastic goaltender. Maybe if I swap, I do a change, I buy some time for the team to regroup, get their shit together. And if he can hold the Panthers to four, look, 3 goals in a period isn't unheard of. They literally did it to us on Monday night. So I don't think he was waving the white flag. I think he was playing his last card to try and turn the game around. And when that didn't
Sure,
work,
yeah.
he called the code red.
Yeah, that makes a lot of sense to me. I think that that's equally, if not more plausible than my theory.
Yeah.
I
I
still think
honestly thought
Swayman's going to
Barkov had
start
a
game
mistake.
three.
I think he makes a switch just because the plan has always been like he said in the first round, hey, both goalies are going to get a game, and then I'd go with who's looking more comfortable. And let's be honest, Swayman, while very good early in the game, he was giving up rebounds late. Like the Panthers,
Yeah.
you said it, like it could have been 4 or 5-1 at the end of the second period. Panthers just missed some chances. Like the Swayman, aura was wearing off. So maybe you give him Friday off. And again, you have another, you have literally last year's Vezina winner on your bench. You give him game three and, you make your decision from there. If I'm Montgomery, that's what I do because you have two 1A goalies. You'd go to Ullmark, see how he does in game three, and then make your decision for game four. That's how I'd play it. I think it's a lot different of a situation than Stolarz Bobrovsky, even though, Stolarz had a fantastic season. He's unproven in the playoffs. Linus Ullmark isn't.
Yeah, I'm gonna still say I think that it will be Swayman, but I'm definitely not convinced. And to play devil's advocate on what I myself think, I'd say Bobrovsky And Stolarz is a great example of what the Bruins tandem is not and what Swayman is not in terms of Bobrovsky, where Bob is one of those guys that is used to a starter's workload. He's used to playing 60 out of 82 games in a regular season. He's used to playing four playoff rounds. I mean, I guess it, not really, but like he did do it last year. And he kind of realizes going into every year that that's likely what it's going to take. Swayman's
Yeah.
just too young. He's never really done that. I mean, he wasn't even really the starter this year. The guy that
No,
came in won the Vezina last year.
they literally alternated goalies like the last 30 something games of the season. Like it did not matter what happened the night before, they were swapping goalies. So again, that's why I think they go to Ullmark. It's, I don't see it as a panic move if they go to Ullmark. The problem I see is you run into the same thing, the same mistake Montgomery did last year. If you wait till game six or seven, it sends the message that you are panicking. If you're doing it now at 1-1, it's just like, hey man, I got a 1A goalie that's sitting there rested. Why wouldn't I play him?
Yeah, I think that you got a real strong case to do that instead, but we'll see. I'm like 55-45 it's going to be Swayman, but
Yeah.
I'm not going to be surprised either way. I do want to give out some flowers, but while we're talking about Swayman, there's a common thread between him and something that I thought the Bruins struggled with in this game, which is just that like there appeared to be fatigue. And the moment where I really was thinking about this was when Brandon Carlo got completely eliminated from a play by Sam Reinhart. And Sam Reinhart's got decent size, but he's not a killer. He's
Yeah.
not jamming you into the boards and putting you down for the count. And he was down for the
No.
count. It
No.
could just be a factor of, go ahead.
Elliot Freeman, I was listening to 32 Thoughts on the way to the game tonight, and when he got to this series, he was like, "Look, when you're playing a rested team and you're the team with on no rest after playing a seven game series, it's not game one that gets you. It's game two, it's game three, it's game four. As the series goes on and you're still playing and you've had to play every other night for 2 weeks and it's playoff games, like what I mean, look, I never played in the NHL, but like anyone who's played competitive sports, like the playoffs are just different. They're harder. You go the extra mile, like you finish every single game absolutely gassed because you put it all on the ice, the field, the court, whatever it is. So like it's gonna catch up to Boston eventually, and I think you said it exactly right. Like the Brandon Carlo play with Reinhart, and I know what you're talking about. That was an absolute sign of it's like, oh, Boston is not gonna be able to keep up this pace for seven games. And it's again why I'm feeling very confident about this series. Is the series over? No. I am just saying my concernometer is back to a one, and I'm not seeing the path outside of dominate special teams, dominate goal, get insane goaltending. Essentially, the same thing we said for Tampa. The two teams, roster to roster, the Panthers are better, and we saw it tonight.
Yeah. If you want to say, and I think it's fair to say, that in the first period, the Bruins had a game plan that was just better than the Panthers, or just it countered the Panthers better than the Panthers countered the Bruins. I think it would be fair to say that. But the fact of the matter is, they didn't have the talent on the ice to capitalize on it to get to a 2-0, 3-0 lead, even though they probably had the chances. But Marchand's no spring chicken. There's no Bergeron. There's no Krejci. There's no Chara. There's no whoever you want to say, Bobby Orr. Name any
Yeah,
fucking
there's no
Bruin that
Bergeron. Yeah.
they're gone, and the replacement
It's
is not some awesome player. It's Morgan Geekie, who's fine. Morgan Geekie's a complimentary player. Is he a superstar in the playoff series? God, no. Now Morgan Geekie is going to have a hat trick in game three, so I'm going to be made to pay for it. He's a good player, but
No, but it's
is he Patrice Bergeron? Is he Carter Verhaeghe? No, he's not.
No, you didn't have Brandon Carlo going bar down. You didn't have a 26-year-old former ECHL or undrafted rookie, doing a, you know, forehand, backhand breakaway and roofing it over Bob. Like, so many things went Boston's way in game one that didn't, all of a sudden, when they don't happen in game two, look what happens. You got boat raced. Like, it's
Yeah.
they, if Marchand is, if Marchand and Pasta aren't scoring, there is no path to win the series. It's that simple.
I mean, I don't know if I agree with that necessarily, but like it's a narrow path.
You need two depth goals a game and win every game 2-1, 2-0 if those two guys aren't getting on the score sheet. Like,
Yeah.
I just don't
And
see that happening.
like
I don't see that happening three more times.
they got nice depth players, but they don't even really have like the Daniel Sprong. You know, who else is like a random depth player that might have like a 28 goal season out of nowhere?
You're just an old, a, like, their version of Vladimir Tarasenko is James Van Riemsdyk, who at this point in his career is more like Kyle Okposo.
Yeah.
Like,
They're gonna
you.
have to like game plan perfectly, execute basically without making mistakes. And, you know, a mistake like not putting that goal into the open net in the first period is probably fatal when you just have this level of talent disparity go against you. Like they had a perfectly fine game plan, I thought.
Yeah,
It just didn't work out.
it frustrated the Panthers when they had the wrong line combinations out there. And as soon, like, the only thing the Panthers changed, they didn't change anything about their structure, their forecheck, their defensive systems. The only thing they did is went back to the lines that got them here. And that was it. The game completely flipped. It was the second Barkov and Reinhart were back together. Oh, this line's working. Tarasenko, all of a sudden, he is with Barkov and Reinhart. Oh, this guy who hasn't gotten a shot since game three against Tampa, he's got a bunch of shots and looking dangerous. Like, all of a sudden, everything. Tkachuk is, you know, making plays. Like, all of a sudden, everything worked again. And there was no counter. It was, that's it. Like, it's over.
Yep. You get the one, again, not a bounce, not a break. One thing goes in your favor. You capitalize on an opportunity at the perfect time, and the switch flips.
And it's off to the
Let's give out
races.
some flowers.
Yeah, I was gonna say, let's give out some flowers and let's get out of here because we're up on 40 minutes.
The fourth line is the one that flipped the switch.
Yeah.
Great shit. Like they've been good in this series the entire time, even when things have been going bad. And it's really not that surprising that they were the ones that, when it was looking precarious, went out there, did their thing, and got the good break, bounce, luck, whichever word you want to use, that they deserved. It finally
Correct.
went the way it was supposed to. And then, you know, everybody on the bench for the Panthers gets a little bit more confidence. Everybody on the bench for the Bruins thinks to themselves, we just played that first period we did. We didn't make any mistakes. We forced a ton of Panthers mistakes. And now the game is tied, and the belief goes out of them a
Yeah.
little bit.
Yeah.
And then you're off to the races, just like you said.
Yeah. More flower. I mean, we already talked about Barkov, but we'll mention him again. I
Yeah.
thought Montour was a lot better. Yes, he had the turnover, even though I kind of thought he got held by Charlie Coyle to cause that turnover. But the way that game was called, like, they were letting a lot of that go. So it's not really something you should be complaining about as a Panthers fan. But, like, I thought Montour had a good game. Forsling obviously was fantastic. Lusterainen was strong, even without the, regardless of the goal. There is no one that I look at in the lineup that was in the lineup tonight and says and say, hey, you've got to be better. And I also think you bought yourself more time with Sam Bennett. I
Sam
would
Bennett.
not be put, I, unless all of a sudden,
Yeah,
unless he's
I
all of
was.
a sudden just like 100% healthy, you're waiting until Sunday at this point.
I also wanted to say that OEL and Kulikov were tilting the ice basically the entire game, which helps because, you know, they're getting sheltered minutes and they're really like the depth of the Bruins is not great. So,
Yeah,
you know,
but
that
if you
helps.
can get quality, if you can get quality minutes out of your third line, you don't have to play Forsling Ekblad 30 minutes a night. Like the way you win a cup is by being able to roll three pairings, roll four lines in the first two rounds. So when you get to the conference final and you get to the cup final, everyone's got gas in the tank to, then play 30 plus minutes a night, or your top guys can play 30 plus minutes a night, and you're really sheltering your bottom players.
Absolutely. And you know, that's how this game went. The guys on the bottom were holding down the fort while the guys on the top were kind of figuring it out, or the coach was figuring out how to get them going. And once they got going, they carried the team to, you know, this blowout victory.
That's pretty much it. Game three, Friday night. I think it's a 7:30 puck drop. You change
Seven.
absolutely nothing. 7 o'clock? Okay. 7 o'clock puck drop. You don't change anything. I know people are asking about Lomberg and Gadjevich. Sorry. You'll stay in the press box for now. There's no room on the fourth line. Stenlund, I still don't think fits on the third line, but again, the only person you take him off the third line for is Sam Bennett. I mean, you've really got Lomberg and Gadjevich are going to continue to sit. Uvis Polenskis, he's going to continue to sit. Not that, anyone's going to make any changes on defense. I'm just kind of going through everybody here.
Yeah, unless there's some sort of mysterious injury we don't know about. Like,
Correct.
you know, Gadjevich and Lomberg, they really didn't do anything wrong. I mean, I think Lomberg's had a disappointing season by his standards, and that's really the reason that he's not in. But also, like, he'd be playing on the Bruins. Like, he'd be in there.
Oh, yeah.
Panthers just are just so deep.
Yeah.
I mean, they're rolling out Kyle Okposo, who was playing. I don't know if he was playing top six, but he was putting up top six production
Yeah.
for the Sabres.
Yeah.
They got him on the fourth line.
Your break glass in case of emergency is no longer Zach Dowell.
Steven Lorenz and Nick Cousins, by the way, because we're always going to talk up of Poso when he does well. Both those guys were great.
Yeah. All right. I'm getting the eye to wrap up, so we gotta go. See you guys after game three.
All right, everybody rate us 5 stars at Cheers. We'll be there before game three, obviously, because we're going to Boston. That's not true.
Yep.
We're not going to Boston. And yeah, we'll
Go
talk to you
Panthers.
after game three. Go Panthers.